Well, hello, I am back again, and I know I said I would try to do Saturdays, but a lot of things got in the way via school, semester one finals, but with everything happening, I feel that I have all the time in the world now to get these done. I am joined by my lovely partner. Say hello.
Hi there, I'm here this time.
Who's come? He's kind of familiar with the case, he's read it before. Today we're doing something, it doesn't fall under serial killers this time. I feel like I'm going to make that a separate thing and do unidentified people, John and Jane Doe's, as their own thing, because that's something I'm very passionate about, trying to get those things heard and out there and have people look into it and put their own theories to things, find a face or a name to the ones that don't have them. And so the case we're on is case number 701-000-992, also known as the Barstow Jane Doe. So I remember you read it whenever I first wrote this paper out.
This was months ago, so don't trust me to remember much of anything about it other than the names I just read before we started this.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I'm very bad with names. A lot of these are names I'm unfamiliar with and are kind of hard to pronounce. So if I butcher them in any way, I am so sorry. This is just a preface because I don't want to, like, offend anybody or seem like I'm being disrespectful. I'm doing everything I can to be not disrespectful about this. I don't mean to be disrespectful to any of the families of the missing and unidentified. It's just I'm very bad with reading. So, on February 9th of 2010 in Barstow, California, there was a man who was on the side of the road collecting cans when he was on State Highway 58, which is south of Barstow-Lenwood Road. I don't know if that is anything any of you guys are familiar with. He was collecting cans when he found a black backpack. And as any of us with curiosity are going to look inside of a bag on the side of the road, he opened it to find the dismembered head of a Hispanic woman. That's bone chilling to think about. Kind of makes your blood run cold to open a bag and find a dismembered head in it. On a sunny day. It's hard to think about. This was 10 years ago now.
Was it?
Yeah, 2010.
Oh, wow.
Okay. February of 2010.
2010 was too long ago.
It doesn't really feel like too long ago, which is just kind of made this worse to an extent that we've been unable to find the name of someone. We have their face. We can't put a name to them, and it's been 10 years now. That's kind of very rough.
Yeah, so that's worrying.
It's very worrying. No, you're totally right on that. It's very worrying. Of course, he reported it to authorities, and it was taken. Immediate action was taken. The head was wrapped in two plastic bags, one from Walgreens and one from Fiesta Foods. They had said that she had been dead for at least 3 to 4 days prior to her head being found. So, I couldn't imagine just decomposing head on the side of the road for 3 days. That's just very kind of disturbing to think of. Imagine if someone wasn't curious enough to open the bag. Like, if he wasn't walking along the side of the road and just found it, people would have just drove him right past it. It would have just been lost eventually.
Did they recover her body?
No, they never recovered a body.
Okay.
I'm not sure. In preface to this, no body was ever recovered. It was just her head. No, none was, like, found in the area. They investigated in the area, local woods, any tips that they found, which they had very little in the case. And, no, body was never recovered. They tested it, and there were no fingerprints obtained from the backpack, the bags, her, anything. When examining the young woman's head, they said she was from the age range of 14 to 19. Her facial reconstructions kind of show her within the 16 to 18-year-old range. The girl was said to have straight, dark brown hair, about medium length, around the shoulders, with reddish highlights. She had brown eyes and pierced ears, with extensive dental work. She had many fillings, which means that she was taken care of at some point in her life. She had access to dental care.
Yeah, she's not, like...
She wasn't homeless.
Exactly.
She had, you know, very extensive work done and stuff, and she had highlights and stuff, so I mean, she had someone that did her hair, got her to these appointments and stuff.
So she's obviously not, like, in poverty or anything, because she's being well taken care of.
You know, she's not in poverty, she's not homeless, she was... Which, it feels bad to say that, but it means that we know someone's taking care of her. We know she's more likely to be handled in a case than a homeless woman is, especially a homeless Hispanic woman. I feel like a lot of police officers would go, well, there's a homeless woman. What are we going to do about that?
Yeah.
There's not much you can do about it. But here, it kind of gives them a little bit more of a lead to show she was taken care of. There's family out there that could be looking for her. It puts a lot more incentive to want to do the case. It's very heartbreaking, but it happens. Due to the fact that her body was missing after her death, her height, her weight, undetermined. They couldn't figure that out, obviously, for many reasons. Though it was a suspected homicide, a cause of death was never determined. Which, if you're decapitated, it might be obvious.
Decapitated, hidden in a bag. I don't think there are many options.
No, but you don't know if she could have been stabbed. She could have been strangled.
Yeah.
She could have been shot in the chest. Anything could have happened to her. Although, I feel like strangulation might be a good cause to look at. Because if we look at the St. Louis Jane Doe, which might be another thing we cover. The unidentified body of a little girl was found. And she was found decapitated. That's the thing. She was decapitated, but she had a body. It was just the body. No head was ever recovered.
Yeah.
They could tell it was strangulation by the bruise marks around her neck from where she was decapitated.
Yeah.
And they were able to tell what decapitated her via how clean the marks were.
What was it?
It was suspected to be a carving knife.
Okay.
Because of how clean it was.
Yeah.
And it was said to be done post-mortem. So, she was strangled and then decapitated. This one, in this case of the Barstow Jane Doe, we have no idea. Nothing was said, or if it was, it wasn't said. I looked at Namus, things like that, that had the information, some web sleuths and things to get the information. And it wasn't said. There are strong pieces of evidence of foul play. Firstly, decapitation and the method of disposal. You know,
That's trying to cover something up. Like, it's not like you find a body and you just take the head and hide it.
No. Or something happens to, like, somebody, like, for whatever freak accident that she wasn't decapitated by somebody and it was some sort of, a car accident or something. You're not going to try and dispose of that. No. And hide it.
Not, like, specific individual body parts, no.
No. No, it was very strong. It was foul play. Secondly, by the words of investigators, her face was destroyed.
How so?
And in very poor condition. It was mutilated by whoever decapitated her. Those are the words of the investigators, which means, according to police, the injuries were so extensive that the facial reconstruction may be unreliable. So, not only was she decapitated, but her face was so savagely beaten in that her facial recognition, like the recreation they did, could be unreliable. That's so sad. Like, not only are you, like, left on the side of the road, decapitated, but you're so savagely beat that they can't identify you.
Did it say if any of that was postmortem?
It was pre-mortem.
Oh, pre-mortem. Okay.
Yeah, it was before. It would have had to have been because of the bruising and stuff.
Yeah, fair.
Bruising enough. Would have happened while the heart was still pumping.
Yeah, exactly. While the heart was still, connected to the...
Yeah. While the heart was still connected and stuff. That's usually how you can find, like, the stab wound that killed somebody, or, like, which was the last final blow, because that's the part that doesn't bleed.
Yeah, exactly.
Or doesn't bleed as bad. The other ones will still have time to have blood pumping through them for them to be, like, yep. fresh, or, like, before the person died. They believe that she might be a victim of a serial killer.
Why?
Via just how experienced.
Okay.
I don't know if experience is the right word, but how, like, thorough exactly. someone disposed of her.
Yeah.
Or how thorough, like, the decapitation was. Mm-hmm. That this doesn't look like someone's first time getting rid of a head.
Yeah.
So they suspect it might be a serial killer.
That's right. Especially since apparently the body was hidden well enough that still haven't found it, you know?
Yeah. They actually believed that the woman lived in a high social economic class. So she's a very high, middle, high class person. Yeah,
really. Why is that? Because, like...
Via her dental work.
Yeah.
Her dental work. She did have earrings. Whenever they found her, her ears, her patient did have earrings in. Mm-hmm. And maybe how well her hair was done. It was suspected that she came from a high class family. High, yeah. middle class. They, DNA and dental records were taken, though, but there have never been a match. Hmm. Yeah.
Strange.
Yeah, you feel like if maybe a family, yeah, if you look at the DNA Doe Project, I'm not sure how familiar you are with that.
No.
The DNA Doe Project, they take DNA samples from websites like 23andMe and Ancestry.com, where you send in your DNA to find familial matches. They'll put them into databases and see if they can connect them with an unidentified DNA. Yeah.
All right, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm. That's how a lot of people have actually been identified. Recently, as of January of this year, the Lyme lady was identified.
Oh.
She's been identified since 1980. Might be another one we cover. I'm not sure. It's quite a long one, but very interesting. There have only been... So the amount of rule-outs, there are 38. For this case, 38 rule outs. That's what that list you saw earlier was.
Yeah, okay.
That's who they determined was not the girl.
I thought so. I didn't realize that was a long list.
Yeah, very. There's only been. Pardon me. There's only been. Two possible matches.
Who were there?
Aaron Rodgers, and Anna, Reyna. R-E-Y-N-A. Reyna, I believe. Anna Luisa yeah. Reyna. We'll start with Aaron Rodgers first. She has been missing since January 8th of 2007. She was missing from Modesto, California. Her classification is as an endangered runaway. So, she was, her date of birth is February 11th of 1992. So, as of today, she'd be 28. But her age of being missing is 14 years old.
Yeah.
Which puts her in Doe's age range. That puts her at around 15 at the time of her, if, okay, by any sense, I'm not saying it is. If she is the Jane Doe, that puts her at around 15 at the time of death. Which puts her within Doe's age range of 14 to 19. She's a Hispanic female. Her height and weight, which isn't really relevant to this case, but she was 5'2", 108 pounds. She was wearing a black hooded sweatshirt, blue jeans, and red sandals the time of her disappearance. Her distinguishing characteristics, it says Hispanic female, black hair, brown eyes. Erin has a scar on her forehead and a scar on her lower back. She has a mark above the right side of her upper lip. So she has distinguishable scars.
Yeah.
But that's very hard in this case.
Exactly, with the beating.
With the face being mutilated. So facial scars. You can't tell a lower back scar. There is no body. So it's very hard to determine. So as of today, she would be 28 years old. If you have any information on Aaron's case, you can contact the Dallas Police Department at 214-671-4268. That is the Dallas Police Department if you have any information on Aaron Rodgers' whereabouts or information on her disappearance. onto Ana Luisa Reyna. She's been missing since... No. I was wrong. I just looked back at that. I was saying in the realm of 2008. Whenever I got the dates mixed up because this is 2010. I'm sorry. Back to Aaron Rodgers. She would still be in the age range,
yeah.
But she would have been around 16, 17
okay, yeah.
At the age of even if she more was.
Solidly in the age range, then.
Yeah, that's even more solidly in the age range. So I'm sorry for the miscommunication on that part. But again, any information. Dallas Police Department. Ana Luisa Reyna. She went missing. August 29th of 2008. She is missing from Dallas, Texas. She's classified as an endangered runaway. She is a Hispanic female. Her date of birth is February 6th of 1991. And she was 17 years old at the age of disappearance. Height and weight not really relevant, but relevant for her case. She was 5'5" and 155 pounds. Any distinguishable characteristics are her ethnicity, her brown hair, and her brown eyes. By any, chance that she is the Jane Doe, that puts her at an age of around, let me do the math real quick, in the 19 years old, like late 19,
yeah, right now
she's late 18, 19. Early 19. So that puts her in that age range, which is very solid. That's the older end of the age range we have, but she still fits within those characteristics. Oh no, I'm so sorry. I might need to go back. Hold on. Okay, I have the phone numbers mixed up. I didn't realize that at first. I'm back. I've situated everything. On my paper, I have the phone numbers next to the names, but didn't realize whenever I wrote them down, I mixed them up and I put a little arrow on the side and I did not see my arrow. So now that we're back on track, if you have any information about the whereabouts or disappearance of Ana Luisa Reyna, talk to the Dallas Police Department at 214-671-4268. That is the Dallas Police Department for Ana Reyna. On the information of Aaron Rodgers' whereabouts or information on the disappearance, I need help reading that real quick.
Stanislaus? Oof, that's a hard one.
Yes, Stanislaus, County Sheriff. At 209-525-7000. That is for any information on the whereabouts or disappearance of Aaron Rodgers. Now I think it's time we should do rollouts. The point of the rollouts is to say that there are girls out there that are still missing. They still need they still need to be found, identifications. A few of these are interesting. I don't know why they were added to the rollouts list or why they were considered a possibility, but I'm not going to question it. The first rollout. Just real quick. Is it Estefani? Okay, have that figured out. Estefani Castro, missing from California in 2008 at the age of 15. Stephanie Pinero Morales, missing from Puerto Rico from 2008 at the age of 13. Yoriel Bajares, missing from Arizona in 2009. There was no age found for her disappearance. At the age of 16, Angelina Yarmarillo, age 16, missing from Texas from 2010. Giovanna Ochoa from South Carolina, missing from missing from South Carolina in 2009. There was no age found for her disappearance. Brittany Drexel from South Carolina went missing in 2009 at the age of 17. At the age of 18, Kelsey Collins from Washington reported missing in 2009. Sarita Camacho, missing from California in 2008 at the age of 15. Rosa Mendoza from California, there was no date given for her disappearance and no date, there was no age found for her disappearance either. Adriana Murillo from California, there was no date for her disappearance and no age found for her disappearance. Adonalee Perez, I really hope I'm saying that correctly.
Yeah, I think so.
From missing from California, in 2007, there was no age found for her disappearance. Nia Freeman from California, missing in 2009, there was no age found for her disappearance. Yurez Cruz from California, there was no date given for her disappearance, nor an age found for her disappearance. Wendy Martinez, missing from Texas in 2009, again, no age found for her disappearance. Shanta Minor, missing from Colorado in 2009, there was no age found for her disappearance. Marie Cruz Jimenez, missing from California in 2009, there was no age found for her disappearance. Sophia Philipkick, missing from Washington in 2009, there was no age found for her disappearance. Kendall Canning, missing from Florida in 2010, no age found for her disappearance. At the age of 19, Kayla Porter was missing from Florida in 2008. Summer McStay from California in 2010, age 43. Here's an interesting one, which is why I don't know what was put on the list.
That's what I was going to bring up. 43 is awfully far out of the age range.
Awfully far out of the age range. She was found dead on February 4th, 2010.
Oh, okay.
So she was found dead six days earlier.
Yeah.
It was a family murder. She was found out there with her family, as far as I was aware. So that was one why I'm not sure why it was on the list, but it was there. Donna Yao, age 19, missing from California in 2007. That kind of puts her a little far out of the age range. No, I didn't. I did. Okay, well, still, we have that one out of the way. I feel like 2007 is a little far out of the age range, don't you think?
Yeah, it seems like it.
I mean, that's not totally out of the ordinary.
No, it doesn't.
That's like 21 from the 19, but still a little bit of a stretch, maybe. Madeline Baker, missing from Utah in 2009. There was no age found for her disappearance. Georgina De Jesus, missing from Ohio in 2004. No age found for her disappearance. At the age of 23, Leah Peebles, missing from New Mexico in 2006.
That's another one that seems like a little far out there. She 2004, 2006.
That kind of, yeah, seems pretty far out of the age range. At the age of 21, Jessica Foster from Nevada, missing in 2006. Darian Cavalillo, missing from California in 2010. There was no age found for her disappearance. At the age of 21, Christina Whitaker from Montana, missing in 2009. Diana Mazzari, missing from...
Mazariegos,
I'm sorry. I wrote that a little weird. I didn't read all of that. At the age of 15, was missing from California in 2006. Nancy Lopez, missing from California in 2009. There was no age found for her disappearance. Mariana. Oh, wait, no, I missed one. Angelica Lopez, missing from California in 2009. There was no age found for her disappearance. I'm unsure if those two are related. It could be same year, same state, same last name. It could be a total coincidence. I'm not sure. Mariana Gutierrez, missing from California in 2009. There was no age found for her disappearance. Candy
Mendezable. I'm not sure.
Oh, that's another one's kind of a little odd to say. Missing from California in 2009, there was no age given for her disappearance. At the age of 37, Catherine Truitt from California, missing in 2010. Kaylee Miller, from missing from Kansas in 2010, there was no age found for her disappearance. In the final rollout, Ryan Jennifer Crow, no date given for her disappearance, no age found, missing from California. Those are all 38 rollouts. That's kind of all there is for this one. To finish off the episode, if you have any information about the about Jane Doe or the circumstances of her death or disappearance, Doe's information, you can send your any information you have to the San Bernardino County Coroner at 909-387-2978. Thank you for listening.